And the name of my presentation is, Do Physicians Want the Patient-Centered Medical Home, or another alternate title may be, How Do Physicians Want the Patient-Centered Medical Home? I want to give some acknowledgement to some of the people that I work with on this particular study, which was part of our general internal medicine clinic, our work toward getting certification for NCQA, which is the National Committee on Quality Assurance. And as part of the process of working on that certification, we did this as a study, as an implementation study to try to work on that process of actually becoming a medical home. I want to acknowledge Dr. Temple Hal Stampley, who is the Medical Director of General Internal Medicine Clinics, and Dr. Lynn M. Kirk, who conceptualized this particular effort that I'm talking about today, and Dr. Ethan Holm, who is the Division Chief of General Internal Medicine. I also will be acknowledging a little later family medicine. We have been working with the Family Medicine Clinic at UT Southwestern Medical Center on this project as well, so we've incorporated some of their data into the to this project. And first, I can, as everyone else, I have nothing to disclose. So, as has already been discussed today, the elements of a medical home, it's a model of primary care that delivers care that is patient-centered, comprehensive, coordinated, accessible, and continuously improved through a systems-based approach to quality and safety. So this model holds great promise to improve the delivery of health care. And it's a component, thank you. I should have taken the animations out. The PCMH is a component of several planned and ongoing pilot and demonstration projects by public and private payers. And transforming a general internal medicine practice into a PCMH takes a significant commitment to change on the part of the physicians and staff in the practice. And so we're talking about an aspect of that. And this term, change, is a process, not an event. It's something I've seen associated with different types of models of facilitation of change. The one I'm particularly interested in is the concerns-based adoption model, which actually comes out of education, or it's been used in education. And CBAM, as it is called, is says it's really important to attend to the concerns of the individual when you're going to innovate, have a new innovation, and you don't just dump the innovation onto an institution or a group of people and then expect them to adopt it. But basically, this is one of their core concepts, is change is a process and not an event. And so part of this project was to try to get at not attending to the concerns, but attending to the input of how the change can happen within these clinics. So the purpose of this particular study is to determine what changes that the physicians in our general internal medicine, or GIM, and family medicine academic practices think would improve the care received by patients in that practice. And we wanted to compare those ideas with the NCQA, National Committee on Quality Assurance, physician-patient connection standards for recognizing medical homes. So our methods were to administer a three-round iterative questionnaire, what we are calling a modified Delphi, to 31 GIM and 8 family medicine faculty members practicing in 2 academic clinics at 5 sites. There are 4 GIM clinics and 1 family medicine clinic. I also want to say that you'll see a number larger than that for family medicine. During the course of this project, of this study, family medicine underwent some changes. So there were more physicians participating in round 1. Actually, there were 12, and then the number reduced down to 8 with 7 responses, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But there was a change there, so you will see a slight change in those numbers. That we wanted to identify also some common themes between the ideas expressed by the 2 different practices and to link those responses to the NCQA elements of the PCMH. So through an online survey, there were 24 GIM and 12, as I said, family medicine physicians who were offered the opportunity, invited to participate in the online survey. And they were invited to offer as many open-ended answers or responses as they wished to 4 questions. Here are the first two. What do you do for your patients in clinic now that could be done as well or better by someone else? What do you wish could be done for your patients in clinic that is not being done now? And then, what would you like to have more time to do for your patients in clinic? And what information and resources would be helpful for you to care for your individual patients and for your population of patients? Then in round two, the responses to those questions were combined into like items. Physicians from both practices were then asked to rate each item generated by their practice from round one on a 5-point Likert scale, from strongly disagree to strongly agree. And we combined similar items for both practices and labeled while retaining separate ratings for GIM and family medicine. Let me just clarify that. We weren't trying to get averages for combine these two practices because they're very distinct, but that we wanted to be able to look at those ratings and offer them to each practice to evaluate on round three separately from each other. And then in round three, general internal medicine physicians were provided the mean ranking for each item and asked to rank all the items in order of importance of implementation in their clinic. And family medicine is still waiting to do that. That will be the next round for them. So the process was two investigators, which would be Drs. Hal Stampley and Kirk, independently determined which of those PPC elements, if any, matched each statement from the physicians. And we were looking at those that rated a 3.2 or above. They determined that that was the cutoff point. And then a third investigator arbitrated any disagreements. And what we found is that in round one, we had the 24 GIM physicians and 12 family medicine physicians that I told you about responded with a total of 202 individual items. Similar items were combined, resulting in 82 unique items. Here, if you have not had an opportunity to look at the different standards, there are 30 elements that fall under 9 different standards. So the PPC1, access and communication, patient tracking and registry functions, care management, patient self-management support, electronic prescribing, test tracking, referral tracking, performance reporting and improvement, and advanced electronic communication are all areas that you have to comply with to be certified with by the NCQA. So we took the final rank list and compared them to the NCQA PPC elements you just saw. And for the GIM practice, reviewers agreed that 46 of 55 of their items, their ideas, match one or more specific PPC elements. So a good percentage already match with what was required for NCQA certification. And for both practices, we found about 8 items and categories that match one or more specific PPC elements. In other words, that the two practices together, there were 8 items, 8 categories. So looking at some of these, there were actually about 15 that were fell under the two responses from the two practices. But if you look at some of the responses, for example, under patient tracking and registry functions, standard set of data for all patients, document preventive services, delete inactive diagnoses, reconcile medications, and patient reminders for preventive services and needed lab tests. Standard discharge summaries, reviewing medications with patients, chronic disease education, pre-visit summaries, coordinating transitions of care, and counseling, diet counseling specifically for patients. And these are just some of the examples. And then medication counseling, access to social work and insurance counseling, and chronic disease education and classes were also important and were things that they had put really high, ranked very highly, and had generated themselves among in that round one. So the conclusion is that when you ask them, they will tell you. So physicians generate a lot of ideas when they're asked in an open-ended manner how patient care in their clinic setting can be improved. And these physician-generated ideas match very closely with those NCQA-defined elements of the PCMH or published PCMH principles. And as referring back to the physician-generated items as the PCMH is being implemented, it may improve physicians' ability to incorporate those changes that are necessary into their practice. So ongoing and planned activities are that in early 2011, our clinic received NCQA certification at level 3. And family medicine hopes to pursue certification in the future. If you're not aware of that, there's three levels of certification, level 3 being the top, so we were very pleased with that effort. But we don't believe that that's the end of the story. This is just the beginning for us to transform the clinical practice. Both practices have completed the same survey of the nursing and clerical staff, and that just should say, actually in family medicine and in general internal medicine. And the interesting thing was when this model was introduced to the clerical staff, nursing staff, the non-physician staff, there was great enthusiasm. You saw some skepticism among physicians, in a small percentage, but among that clerical staff, they said, this is the kind of place that we would love to work if we had this model in place. So they were very enthusiastic about it. And then currently we're in round 3 of the same survey for family medicine to complete that. And we plan also to get similar input, survey, focus group methods from patients to be used with patients in both practices. And just to end, I want to thank Dr. Manjula Cherukuri, who is the family medicine physician we have been working with, and Deepa Bhatt, who has produced a lot of the data that helped us with our certification, and all the other people who were involved in the clinic and worked on both the certification and on this project. Thanks.